Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your favor to your church, your people. Lord, we submit to you, we surrender everything to you. We make it our aim to live for you, Lord. Taking our cross, denying ourselves daily, Lord. Trusting in you, Lord. Following you in every way. We ask that as we believe, that as we rise to follow you, Lord, that you will give us the ability to be your followers, your servants, Lord. That we may live this godly life by faith in your strength, Lord. Operating, Lord, in a supernatural way through the favor and the passion of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, you know the need that we have in our hearts, in our minds, continually, Lord. The challenges that we face in our lives, in our families, on a daily basis, Lord. Lord, here we are. We have a heart that is seeking after you, Lord. We have a mind that is willing, Lord. We seek your face, Lord, and we ask of your wisdom, of your grace, of your favor. Fill us anew with your power, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And allow us, Lord, to experience your presence continually, Lord. That no discouragement would come and overpower, Lord, the faith that you have placed in our hearts. And Lord, that as we continue to follow hard after you, Lord, at every moment we will remember, Lord, that you are interceding for us, Lord, in the throne of heaven. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit is praying for us in the midst of our weakness so that we may go forth and overcome. We are more than conquerors in you. We are able to stand by your grace, Lord. And Lord, open our minds to your scripture this morning, Lord. Every one of us, Lord, in some way needs to be fed, to be brought up by your word continually. So we pray that as we go through these verses, Lord, your word will read our minds and hearts, Lord. Reveal the circumstances, the challenges that we are facing, Lord, and the ways in which we are, by your grace, able to withstand, Lord, in these things. In your mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, John and worship team, for leading us here. I want to invite you to a couple of scriptures this morning. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We're going to pick it up right in the middle of the verse. I want to speak to you this morning about humility. For humility leads to victory. As Christ calls us to be His and to serve Him, I see it more often, the importance in every one of us to live in humility, to have an attitude of humility, for humility leads to victory. Now, we're going to read 1 Peter, and then I'm going to quote and read a couple of verses, and then we're going to make our way to 2 Chronicles. But as we go to these verses, I want to just highlight the importance of humility and the benefits of humility in the Christian walk throughout the whole Bible. Here in this passage, Peter is talking to the young ones, and he's telling them in verse 5 that they need to be subject to the elders. And then it says, clothe yourselves, all of you. How many of you brought a jacket this morning to church? You brought a jacket? Like this morning, you know, you're thinking about, okay, it's getting cold, I need a jacket. There's something that I have to do. I have to be proactive. Remember where I left that jacket. That's humility. It's an attitude. It's apprehending something. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. With humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I mean, God opposes the proud one. God opposes the one that is proud. So you need to be humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Now, I want to, for a moment, just to speak of this verse. Whatever your circumstances, your challenge, the things that you're facing in life, your responsibilities, the call of God in your life, maybe you're going through sickness, maybe you have a lot of oppression against you right now, maybe you are in financial or legal battles in your life. You are there for a reason. And I want to speak of this today. Because right here in verse 6 it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God is in full control of every situation, and at the proper time He may exalt you. Now, while you're there, you may be casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you in the next verse. And it goes on to explain how God at the proper moment will rescue us. Now, I look at this and it is very important for us to understand what is an attitude of humility. What is a mindset in the Christian life that allows us to grow in humility. This message may not be a message where you get it today and you understand what this means and you put it on your pocket and off you go. No, this is something that you have to practice continually in your life. And you have to make this idea of humility something that you exercise yourself in continually so that God is blessing you all the time. Psalms 138 verse 6, it's in your notes right there, it says, for though the Lord is high, He's very high, He's powerful and mighty, He regards the lowly. That's humility right there. But the haughty He knows from afar. He separates Himself from the haughty. Now I was looking at this week and thinking, Lord, how important it is for us to be humble. And let me tell you how I got there. I want to just for a moment open my heart. I pray a lot. I go to the Bible when I am thinking about preaching. And we're heading to Christmas here, Thanksgiving. How many of you are thankful for everything you have? Are you thankful? And especially for family, right? It's a time for us to spend time with families. Yes, there are a lot of battles and circumstances around us. Elections is kind of going here on the rear view mirror, and we're wondering what's going on. But have you realized that it is incredibly difficult to serve God? That there is a lot of misunderstandings going on. That it takes a lot of discernment in life to be a Christian. That it seems to be that it is more and more difficult to be a true Christian of God and to discern the will of the Lord in our lives. Have you realized that? Do you know that we're living in very interesting times, to say the least? Not only in America, but in the world. And as I was just praying and saying, Lord, what do you want us for to be learning on the weekend? I really thought family. I really thought maybe Thanksgiving in regard to family. And in fact, I was writing and just bringing verses to notes and thinking, Lord, this is where we're going to go. And humility just kept rising up in my heart and in my mind. And I kept going back to the Bible, and the Lord kept just overwhelmingly saying to my heart, be humble. Humility is important. You may be here this morning, I don't know what you're going through. You may be wondering, you're a young person, you think I have a life ahead of me, maybe college, maybe work. Let me just bring this to your mind, to your heart this morning from the Word of God. Humility is the way to victory. Humility. Regardless of where you are. If we think of it as a nation, if we think of it as a church, if we think of it as an individual, humility is the key for us to move forward in any direction. I want to ask three questions briefly. What are the challenges or the problems that our world is facing today? And I will tell you that the biggest challenge is sin. The biggest challenge is the separation of people from God. And there are consequences in those challenges. Now, as Christians, we are to bring people to the Lord. So the challenge is not for the world, but the challenge is actually for the church. What is the challenge of the church in the midst of the times and community that we live on today? So truth. I go back to truth, and in order for this truth to be proclaimed and to make its way to the hearts of people, They need to be humble, but we also need to be humble. Amen? We need to live in humility. Now, what are we to do about it? This is encouraging for me because I am not a professional. In fact, we are not professionals as a church, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. We don't operate in professionalism. We don't say, well, I got eloquence, I got experience, I got a lot of knowledge and wisdom and abilities. I am crafty at this. No. When we come to the gospel is speaking to broken people. Amen? That is going to reach broken people outside in the community, and therefore humility is vital. We are not encouraged to be professionals. We are God's church in the world, and we operate in a supernatural way. Now, if we are His people and the Holy Spirit is with us and He has given us His word, we are invited to pursue Him. We are invited to seek Him, to encounter Him, to experience Him in our hearts and in our lives, to know Him in such a way that we may proclaim Him and give Him glory in everything that we do. So we must rely on the supernatural power of God. The supernatural power of God for direction, for freedom, and for salvation. So therefore, humility leads to victory. Now, before we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to, in this same thought, I want to remind you of something. God, in His economy, if I was to say this, the way He operates with us, He operates through humility. The moment God says, I'm going to have a relationship with the world, with people, it is through humility. Let me read from Psalm 113, 5 through 7. Who is like the Lord our God? No one. That is not there, but I want to answer that. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. So when God looks down, or when He looks at us, He has to look down at heavens first. And then, little deeper down to the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Again, who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. This is the idea of a condescending God. God looks down on heaven. Wait a minute, isn't God in heaven? He looks down on heaven and on earth to have a relationship with people. Now, that's the way God initiates relationship with us. On the other hand, in Isaiah 66:1, it says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you will build for me? And what is the place for my rest? What is the kind of temple where you could worship me? If you would have a heart where I'm going to enter in, what kind of house is going to be that? All these things my hand has made, says the Lord. And so all these things came to be. Heavens, earth, the temple, human beings, everything is being created by God. And they came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble. This is the one that I will pay attention to and be merciful to. The one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. How important is humility? Very important. Humility is vital. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because there is a story here of a man who is going to show and model humility to us this morning in a powerful way. You look in verse 1, and we're going to go section by section here. We can't go through the whole chapter. It'll take us all day here, but we'll try our best in the next 2 hours. We'll see how that goes. But if you read right there in verse 1, after this, I want to stop right there for a moment, because, and encourage you to read chapter 17, 18, and 19 in your house. if you have time to do this. And just look at the life of this man, Jehoshaphat. He was a king of the kingdom of Judah. Judah and Israel had split and separated. The northern kingdom, Israel, was under the rulership of Ahab, a very wicked king. Now, he was collapsing, and they were collapsing as a nation. But Jehoshaphat encountered grace from God, and he was a good king. He was righteous. He established judges. He told them how to rule and serve in the nation. And he brought reforms in the temple, good reforms. He made some mistakes too. He had a relationship with Ahab before he married one of his daughters, granddaughters. And he went to war with Ahab. And when he was there in war, Ahab died. And coming back home, a prophet of the Lord came and talked to Jehoshaphat and said, what you're doing is wrong. And in chapter 19, he humbles himself before the Lord. And he established more reforms again. In fact, God blessed these men with an army that was bigger than 1 million soldiers. A big army he had. So after this thing, seems to be that he was prosperous. He made some mistakes. He humbled himself and changed his ways. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites and everything that finishes in ites, I guess, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hesazon Tamar, that is in Gadai. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, powerful four verses right there to start. And I want to just look at humility in relationships. Humility toward God, toward God first, and toward people, toward others. And this is very important as we look at these men, because we look at the war, at the battle coming, and before we see his attitude, let me just remind you, we are in a spiritual battle continually, okay? Satan is not asleep. We do not battle against flesh and blood, okay? These are the Ammonites, these are the Moabites, these are the Territes, whatever it is, you know. And they're not just coming up by coincidence. Something is building up. And every battle that raises up against us, in many ways, you know this, is forming the spiritual realms, okay? You know that? Battles that come against us, sometimes we see the nature, the flesh and blood of it, but they are forming the spiritual kingdoms very often. Most of the time, all the time. And so you have to understand, we have an enemy, the enemy of our souls. That's Satan. But also, there are battles that are raising from within us. And that's our flesh. Frustration, discouragement, unbelief, anger, doubts, jealousy. There's all kinds of things sometimes raging through our minds and hearts. And if we look at these, we also live in the midst of a world that is broken, fallen, depraved. So Satan, our flesh, and the world is the entity of battle against Christianity. Now these men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom. They're coming from the other side of the sea. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. He's a king with over a million soldiers in his army, and he's afraid. He's been to battle, but he's afraid. He's wondering what's going to happen. And then right away he set his face to seek the Lord. And it seems to be that it was in the same moment, the same morning, that the news came to him, or afternoon. Now, set his face to seek the Lord. That means disposition. In fact, the literal translation is, he gave himself into seek the Lord. My Spanish Bible reads, he humbled himself and set his face before the presence of God. So he's giving in, he's pursuing the Lord, he's surrendering, he's submitting. That's what he means right there. There is a resolution, a resolve in his heart to seek the face of God. That's humility right there. That's humility right there. What do you do when you face battles? when bad news comes to you. The Bible says in Psalms, the righteous will not be afraid of bad news. Sometimes, though, we are afraid. And that's okay. Sometimes we start wondering, oh, what is going on? Why? Why this problem in my life? What do you do? How do you react in the midst of that? Now, I look at these men, and in this case, we see Jehoshaphat, the king, humbling himself. We see the rest of the nation humbling themselves. But obviously, we see that he's leading. Jehoshaphat was the king. He was powerful, yet humble. But it doesn't matter where you are in life. You must be humble. Humility trusts and appeals directly to God. The greater the responsibility and the position, the more humility we need. Now, in our world, we say, well, the more power, the more position that I have, I don't need to be humble. What I need to be is confident. Humility is a virtue that is losing its value. You know that? With over 93 million selfies taken every day, according to Google. Just in Android. Just in the Android phone. Not counting the iPhone phone, because that's confidential, they say, right? Nobody knows. Wow. 93 million selfies every day. You know it's easier to die taking a selfie than being attacked by a shark today in our world? No. This is true, statistically speaking. I read it. Way more frequent now. I mean, in fact, there is selfies that went wrong and people died. Because selfies are so important in our time. I don't know. I didn't share this with the other messages. I don't know why in the other services, but pride. I am powerful. I got what it takes. Do you know my credentials? No, not in the Bible. The greater the responsibility, the more humility we need. Faith is the place where humility is displayed. Where humility is revealed. When we trust the Lord, when we know that He exists, when we know that He is real and that He rewards those who seek Him, that's where humility develops. So if we learn something from Jehoshaphat, is God is real, He's in control, He's almighty, He's sovereign, He's powerful, I believe in Him, so therefore I humble myself before the mighty hand of God. Jesus was asked by His disciples in Matthew 18, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You think that question rolls around in our circles today? Who is the greatest in the world, in the nation? Who is greater than you? They ask Elon Musk. You're the greatest man in the world, all right? No, he said, there's someone greater than me. I don't invade nations and take them for me. You know what he was referring to in that interview. But there is this aim, this goal of being great. Having it all. Being in power and control, in charge. Now look at Jesus. He called to him a child and put him in the midst of them and said, truly I said to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, this is a time when children were not as important as they are right now in our world, right? Children rights, right? Helicopter parenting, you know? The world circles around kids in many communities now. Now Jesus brings a child, puts him in the middle of them, and he says, unless you become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There is no entrance without humility. Now, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jehoshaphat is like a child. In humility, he's seeking the face of the Lord. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being destitute before the presence of the Lord is trusting in His greatness, but also trusting in His sovereignty, God's sovereignty. Now in James 4, 6 through 10, we read a lot of ideas or a lot of challenges for us in regard to being humble. God gives more grace. Who does He give grace to? It says God opposes the proud. We already read it. But he gives grace to the humble. This is repeated over and over in the New and in the Old Testament. Now, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep under the challenges and circumstances before the presence of the Lord. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So this is a good way to go to the next point here, because we're going to look not only at humility towards God and people, but we're going to look at humility in the circumstances. And let's look at the story back in 2 Chronicles 19:4, verse 5. Actually, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers." So he starts praying. By the way, if you want to look at humility, look at the prayers of men in the Bible. Whether David, Solomon, these men here, Daniel, in the book of Daniel. Great way to see how to pray with humility. Jesus in the New Testament, Peter, Paul. Now Jehoshaphat stands in the assembly of Judah, and right in that place he starts saying, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" Rhetorical question to God. Yes, he is, absolutely. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. So not only you are in heaven seeing everything, but actually you have power over everything. And in your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Consider this. He knows everything. He sees everything. He controls everything. And nobody is able to withstand the Lord. Now this is a man who knows the character of God. And therefore he prays according to the character of God. And then he says, "Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" Now he knows his story too. Therefore a man who does not know his story is condemned to live it again, right? He goes back, and God knows this, but he's saying, "Lord, we're here because of you. You gave this land to your people. And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name." Saying, now look at the prayer here in verse 9. "If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this place, in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you will not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." So he glorifies God in the beginning. He brings the circumstances in the middle of the prayer. And then he finishes by saying, "You have something to do here, God, for you are in control. And we are powerless against this great horde, this people that is coming against us. And we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." So humility before God and people, humility in the midst of needs or circumstances. God is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's in full control. And any challenge that comes against us, the greater the challenge, the greater the need. But therefore also, the more humility that we should have. Now, we have no power, but we have Him. Amen? Amen? Consider this. We have no power in ourselves. And we need to reflect on this continually, that the difficulties and pressures that we face continually are many. But when we humble ourselves, it reveals not only our faith, it reveals our dependency on God, as Hal was sharing on the very beginning part of the message of the service this morning. It reveals, "I want to depend on you, Lord." Now, let me, before we go farther here for a moment, how needy are you? How much do you pray? How often do you pray? How often do I find myself on my knees praying? How often do I go back and declare the promises of the Bible in my life and in my family? How often do I recall the blessings of God to America, this nation? You know, there are times when judgment comes to us individually. There are times when judgment comes to us as a family. There are times when judgment comes to us as a nation, as a society, as a community. And I think to go to the Lord and pray to Him, it really reveals that we are humble. Prayer is the place where our humility is revealed. Faith, prayer, reveal humility. This man is praying to the Lord and saying, God, I have soldiers. I've been in battle. You're in full control of everything. You are the one who's the source of power. Why would I go somewhere else? Here is my circumstance. Now, I am really challenged by this because Jehoshaphat was not a poor man. He had an army. He's been in battle before. He could be developing strategies to go out in battle. And sometimes God bless that. Now, would you not say that the things he had were there because God gave them to him? Yes. He was blessed by God. The army was a gift of God. And yet he goes to God and prays. Now, I bet some of the officials and the people were saying, we're wasting time here, buddy. Should be going out there and getting ready before they get too close to us. He says, no, let's go to God in prayer. Let's call for a fast. Well, the soldiers are going to be very weak if they don't eat. And when we need them to stand up and fight, they're not going to have any strength. We're going to pray. Because that's where the battle is won. Amen? That's where the victory will come from. Humility leads to victory. Now, Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Blessed is the man whose faith, whose trust is placed on God. Jeremiah 17. And cursed is the man whose salvation is his arm of flesh. The arm of flesh needs to die. Needs to be broken at times, and we need to come to the Lord and pray. In his humility, Jehoshaphat abandoned all human resources and went directly to the throne of God. Now, look in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we go to our own resources in confidence, we will go to the throne of grace fearful. Okay? But when we are fearful in our own resources, we will go to the throne of grace confidently. Which one is going to be for you? Which one is going to be for you? Now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Really? Does God still answer prayer? Does He? There are some few regular occasions when I'm heading somewhere and I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to say? How can I encounter this situation, Lord? That's knowing that God is the only one who can answer. And you know, when you see the hand of the Lord in the midst of that situation, you rejoice, you glorify the name. Now, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, and Jesus reveals the condition of men, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is the grace of God in prayer. When we go in humility praying, we recognize that God is a source of direction and power. Let's go to the third point here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 8. I want to just reflect on two verses that we already read. In verse 8, it says, they have lived in it. The people of Israel have lived in the land, and they have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now, as I said, sometimes judgment comes individually, but sometimes it comes in general. And humility recognizes sin. Weakness, but yet sin. Because when we understand, I am weak. I am incompetent. I don't have what it takes to obey the Lord, to do what He's asking of me. We realize that we fall into sin often. And Jehoshaphat knows this, and therefore he's praying. He says, now, how many times do you know why you're facing what you're facing? Do you know? Do you know the problems that you have ahead of you, why they came? Very often we don't, right? Most of the time we don't. We look at circumstances and we say, Lord, what is going on? Why is my body reacting like this? Why am I being affected by this situation in such a way? So some things affect us more than others. And Jehoshaphat knows this and he says, we have a house, and in this house it's been said that if disaster come upon us and the sword and judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand and pray and you will hear. And not only that, he says, for your name is in this house, and if we cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear and save. So the greater our weakness or sin, the greater our need for the grace of God in our lives. For we are not able to be perfect. And sometimes when we don't know what's going on, we need to go to God and say, Lord, is there sin in my life? Am I living in an ungodly way? Now look at Proverbs 16. I want to read a few verses here because sometimes we think, well, I am righteous. There's nothing against me. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Let me read it again. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. We think, there's nothing wrong with me. I am good. I've done everything right. But the Lord weighs the spirit. He knows what we don't see. He sees what we don't see. Now in verse 5 it says, everyone who is arrogant in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone who is presumptuous and arrogant is an abomination to the Lord. Now, we got to be careful here. Sometimes we say, oh, God hates the sin. He loves the sinner. Yes, He loves sinners, but He also hates sinners. Okay? 32 times in the Bible, God hates the sinful person. Right here it says, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Those are hard words. Previously, here in Proverbs in chapter 6, six things the Lord hates and seven things He abominates. Strong words. You know what the first one is? A haughty look. I got it, you know. Whether you grab the bike and you think, I can ride this bike, okay. Or get on the snowboard and you think, I can do this. Just kind of thinking you can. Be careful what you say. Because God hates that presumption. He abominates it. Now, be assured He will not go unpunished. Verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. How important is humility according to these passages? Very important. So, therefore, Jehoshaphat prays. He prays, in case we sin, Lord, we know that we can come out to you and cry out in our affliction and you will hear and save. So when we pray, how do we pray? Understanding that we are weak and He is righteous. And that we deserve nothing. That we need the grace of God, and our only way to God is humility. Look at Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us. And atone for our sins for your name's sake. Not because we're good. Not because we have it all under control. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've done the right things. No. Lord, be merciful to us. Deliver us for the glory of your name. for your name's sake. You look at the prayers of men in the Bible. You look at the appeal, when people appealed to God, when they came to the Lord, always it was for the glory of God or for the purpose of God to be established over the face of the earth. Whether it's Moses trying to bring the people of Israel to the promised land and they're kind of giving up. And he says, Lord, please don't kill him, Lord. The Egyptians will hear it and they will say, God couldn't get him into the promised land. And then your name will be blasphemed before the face of the earth. So the greatest way to pray and the greatest way to live in this humility is to recognize we are sinful. God is perfect. So what we want to do is exalt the greatness of God. Look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 verse 17 when he's in captivity in Babylon. Therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy for your own sake. O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary. Not on us, on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations. And the city that is called by your name. Your name is in the city. Your name is in the sanctuary. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. Again. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. If there is anything good in us, it's the fact that we are called by his name. Amen? Israel was chosen by grace. And so are we. And therefore we pray to the Lord and say, Lord, here we come. Not because we deserve better than other nations or other people. No, because your name is on us, Lord. We believe and trust in you. For your name's sake, Psalm 25:11 says, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. So in the midst of our struggles and failures, it is the glory of God that matters. It is the glory of God that matters. So, if we gain for God's glory, and therefore we humble continually. Let's go to the last part here, 2 Chronicles 20, 13, 17. Meanwhile, Jehoshaphat is praying, and obviously everybody's wondering what's going to happen here. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And I think of this, I think, Lord, when was the last time we all humbled ourselves before your presence as a nation? When was the last time we humbled ourselves before your presence as a church? When was the last time we worshiped God with humility? In one spirit, in one mind, the whole church. Well, I'm not concentrated to worship. I'm not concentrated because I am busy. I got a lot of things going. Where is your humility this morning? Consider that. I'm not in tune with the singing. Are you not in tune with God? Have you not seen the need in your life? Are you aware of the brokenness? Is that a reality? God opposes the proud one. He gives grace to the humble. Unless you become like a child who is enamored before the presence of the Lord, you are lost. Repent. Come to God and say, Lord, are we in your plan? That's what the Lord says to us. When we are broken, when we realize the problems that we have around us. Now, the whole nation is there, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. He said, is it too difficult for God to work? Is it impossible for God to operate and provide a miracle? No. God had a man right there, ready to prophesy because the people were praying, they were humble. And he said to Judah, listen, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Are we humble enough for God to speak to us? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, Jehoshaphat was the one who presented this battle to God and said, God, I have no way out of this mess. I have no idea how to encounter the enemy. Lord, would you take care of this problem? Although I could do something, I want you to take care of this. And that's why God is answering to Jehoshaphat directly. You will not need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of seas, and you will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. You have given me the battle. See, humility gives the battle to the Lord. Humility gives marriage to the Lord. Humility gives children to the Lord. Humility gives businesses and churches and ministries and gossip and anger and divisions and hurts and resentments to the Lord. Here we are, Lord. We give it to you. Because we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. So humility experiences the power of God. Let me just mention it again. Faith leads us to humility. Prayer leads us to humility. Our own sin leads us to humility, our impossibility. But also, when we are in that humility, we experience the power of God. To understand the grace of God, that He is willing. The greater the need for a miracle in our lives, the greater the urgency for humility before the Lord. And an experience of the power of God in our lives. I wonder if that's why James says, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Because when you are needy, when you are poor, and we are all needy, but sometimes we don't realize it. The sooner we come to the presence of the Lord to ask for this grace. Now, I've been talking about the Spirit in the last 3 weeks. And really it is only through the power of the Spirit that we could achieve anything in life. And in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, humility, repentance, asking forgiveness for our sins, let me say it, releases the power of God in our lives. We need that. We need it. In Acts 2:37, Peter is sharing with the Jewish people that he's seen a miracle there, and he shares, you killed the author of life. You crucified him. You denied him. He was the Messiah. He was attested with miracles, yet you refused to trust in him. And when they heard these, they were cut to the heart. Broken, wounded. All of a sudden, they realized what they did. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It's an acknowledgement of God's grace, goodness, power, and humility in our lives. That trusts, that prays, that repents, that seeks. Whether it's David saying, I have sinned. Or is Nebuchadnezzar saying, until my eyes look up to heaven, to the Creator of everything. Here we see a group of men saying, what shall we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will. It's a promise. Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed that what he has heard from us? Who has believed in the message of the Lord? Do you still believe in this book this morning? Do you know that He is? Are you able to humble yourself before the presence of the Lord? Have you come to that point in your life? You may say, I am young yet. Samuel was but a baby when he humbled himself before the presence of the Lord. A kid, a child, not a baby, a child. He didn't know what was going on. And he says, here I am, speak, that your servant hears. God hears. Amen? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? God's power is revealed to those that believe, to those that humble themselves. Behold, Isaiah 59 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, or His ear dull that He cannot hear. God hears. He saves. He's powerful. Especially to the church, in whatever condition the church is. In Matthew 16:18, it says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So God is for the church. Amen? The question is the church humble? Is the church humble to God? Let me finish with this passage in Acts chapter 4:23, when the apostles were being persecuted. And I read this passage very often, and I bring it occasionally here, but the Bible says that these men were in prison for a while, and they were threatened, and they were beaten for the name of Christ, and they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. Now, when they were released, they went to their friends outside in the church, and they reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together in prayer. Okay, this is what's going on. This is the challenges that we have. We are the church in the midst of the community. What do? They lifted their voice together in prayer to God. And look how similar this is to the story of Jehoshaphat. They started praying, saying, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Appealing to God's sovereignty. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said to by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the anointed. Again, bringing what is supposed to be happening in the promises, in the prophecies of the Bible. They say, for truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Let me tell you what I'm surprised of here. These people knew the sovereignty of God, and they knew God was in full control of everything that was going on. They trusted God. But in their trust and in their prayer and in their humility here, they start praying to God in this way. Now, Lord, allow us to form a committee and defend ourselves because we are desperate here. No, look what they pray. Look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word. In other words, we put the battle in your hands. Look upon that threat. It is in your hands, Lord. But grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. We want to do our job while you stretch out your hand and to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You take care of the battle. Give us the power to preach while you do miracles among your people. Let us remember how important humility is. I want to invite you to just bow our heads right there where we are and humble ourselves before God. Now, as I said, this may be a message that rather than you getting it today, you need to apply in your lives every day, continually. But nevertheless, we acknowledge our need before the Lord. Lord, You are in absolute control of everything. The economy, the governments, the season, the weather, Lord, the nations. You are in absolute control of heavens and earth, the stars, the sun, the moon. Everything, Lord, is in your hands. And Lord, as we look at the circumstances, the challenges of our world, we pray for a church that is humble. We humble ourselves and we come to you praying for valor. For men and women of courage who are willing to stand and do what is right. Not to say it, but to model it. To live it. In our households first, Lord, and then in the communities where we live. Lord, you will punish the arrogant, your word says. Heaven and earth will shake And you will bring men to nothing, Lord. And yet, those who believe and trust in you, Lord, you will reward. We pray. We pray, Lord, that we may realize continually how needy we are, how powerless we are, how incompetent we are, how needy is our spiritual condition before your presence, Lord. And yet, how confident sometimes we are, how complacent we act, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive our ignorance, Lord, and our presumption when we think everything is going to be okay. Allow us to remember that it is only in your kingdom that things are okay. That your will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And also, let your kingdom come through us, Lord. Lord, we repent of our sins. We ask for forgiveness. And we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to move in our midst, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.